Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Scott Rogers of Verse 7 Ministries. We are fired up, and we are so thankful that you're listening to the podcast today. We pray that God will change your life in some way through this message. For more information, please check us out on the website at www.verse7.org. That's V-E-R-S-E, the number 7.org. Please feel free to interact with us through comment and email. God bless you.
All right, my brothers and sisters, welcome to Verse 7 Ministries. Rock on. Where two or more gather, there he is also. Amen. We're going to have a good time tonight. God has got a good word. I have been praying and working on it all week long and got three or four different ones out of it. And we're going to see which way the Lord would go with it tonight. But I know it's going to be awesome. It's an encouraging word. It's also a salvation message at the same time. And just excited about that tonight and excited to see what God's going to do in our lives. Can you say amen? Go to the Lord in prayer and lift up the service tonight. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. God, thank you, Lord, that you have given us a place. Again, like verse 7, Father, we can come together on a Friday night when there's so many other things that we could be doing, God, but we choose to be here, Father, in a place where we're free, a place where we can receive a word from you, receive a blessing from you, Father, but most importantly, receive fellowship with you, God, that we can come together, commune with you, and Father, we can learn more about you, and Father, keep our lives on track with you and keep our relationship with you going right, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this place, this building. And Father, those that have come out tonight, thank you for them, God. They've chose, Father, to come out and get a word from you, Father, that you might change their lives tonight. We pray that in Jesus' name tonight, God, that you would change our lives through the word that's being spoken tonight, God. It would not be a word that I speak or Father, that man speaks, but it would be a word that the Holy Spirit speaks forward tonight to their hearts and to my heart. And I thank you for that, God, that the word is coming forth tonight. The word's going to change our lives, and we're believing that in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up Tabitha to you tonight, God, that you would let this word touch her life and speak to her life. God, and whatever she's going through, Father, you know the need there. God, I just pray that you would touch her life, and Father, all the troubles would be gone and turned and trade it for your burden, which is light, God. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up all the prayer requests that I've been given and about drug addiction and alcohol. And God, I lift them all up to you right now. Father, you know, God, you know what Satan is doing through drugs and alcohol and the things he's doing, tearing families apart, God. And we just bind him right now in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you, Father, that you are power, Father. You are the power from on high, God, that touches lives and breaks the chains, Father, and loosens strongholds. And we thank you for that tonight, God, that we're going to see more captives set free. And we're thanking you for that, God. Thank you for using us in those lives. And we glorify you in that, God. We pray again, once again, tonight, Father, that your will would be done and that your plans would be carried forth here at Verse 7 Ministries. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am definitely excited. You guys may be seated. I want you to sit on nice and close right there, though. Huh? Oh, you ain't got to sit down. You can stand up, brother. You can stand up all you want to, I promise. I am excited and privileged and honored to bring forth this word, and we're going to get it out there, and we're going to have a time of prayer at the end, and just wait and see what God has. I know he's got something special for each one of us. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, man, you guys, if I tend to spit tonight, it's okay. And if I say something, like if I say I'm fired up and I go like that and make a weird noise and I say I'm fired up, it's because my mouth was numb today. I got blessed with a blessing from on high, man, that I'm getting dental work done for free. Amen. Praise God to that. An incredible blessing from God. That's all that is, straight from God. And so they started the work today. I got two fillings done, but my whole face all the way up through my eyeball is numb. And it's been funny, man. Josh is making fun of me all day. I'm trying to smile, and this is all I can get out. You know what I mean? This is all I can get out, like a half-crooked smile. And I'm like, man, I remember, it's sad, but my dad had his whole face inside of his body got paralyzed one time. And he couldn't do that. He'd try, and that's all he could get out. And I felt like him, man. I was like, man, it's just crazy. But that's not like me. I don't like not smiling, amen? And so, but every time I say some F word or a V or something, it goes like air comes through there somehow because it's weird, man. So if I spit on you tonight or you can't listen to what I'm saying, just bear with me. You know what's going on. But you guys remember last week? Y'all remember what I preached last week? Can you say amen? Amen? Not too many of you. Some of you remember? Huh? Do I need to repeat everything I said last week? Because I will. I'll repeat every bit of it. Huh? Yeah, the Frog City. There you go. That's the one thing everybody always remembers. I even got phone calls this week, man. Somebody said, dude, I heard the podcast and I heard that. Man, that Frog City story was awesome. I was like, wait a minute. What about the word, dude? What about the... No. He was cracking me up with it, man. And he said, man, that word was awesome and I appreciate it. And that just fired me up. That was the first podcast that had been out, and Josh had been doing a great job with that. And we appreciate that and appreciate everybody listening through podcast tonight. And We just are excited about that. But the frog story was funny, man. That was exciting. And it's not my story. I can't claim it. It's somebody else's story. But I use it, you know, see it, steal it, say it. Amen. The three S's. And so that's what I did. But the theme of last week was 2 Timothy. What was it? 2 Timothy 1:7. What did it say? There you go. Bringing it on. That's what I'm talking about. Make sure right here. We'll see. We'll read it exactly. That way you'll know it's coming from the Word of God and not from her. Amen. That's what I always like to do. I was talking to Jeffrey the other night. I said, man, I'm just going to find the scripture so you'll believe it's for me and not or from the Word, not for me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. And so the whole thing was that the things that our government's doing and the things that our country is going to and turning to is because we're not doing anything about it. Can you say amen? It's because the church is sitting back doing nothing about it. You see, if you'll read in history books and read about all the wars and all the presidents way back when that were actually feared God, you see, there was a time when actually presidents did fear God. You see, I'm not kidding. Reading history books, there was a time when they actually did consult God with things that they would do. And so, you see, back then, it was a time. Do you guys remember the movie? Have you seen the one that we've got? What's it called where the guy goes not back? He goes back in time. What's the name of that movie? Huh? No, Time Changer. Yeah, that's it. Time Changer. That movie we got, Time Changer. How many of you have seen that movie? Awesome movie. If you guys borrow to watch it, we'll watch it here. We'll call a Friday night movie or something, and we'll watch it up on the big screen. It's absolutely amazing. He goes back in time, and basically, he goes forward in time is what he does. He goes forward. It's a time thing. He goes forward in time, and he's from like back in the 1920s or 1800s, and he comes forward to our day in time. And then he walks around this earth, and he's just blown away at the things that are going on. Absolutely blown away. He goes and sits in a movie. He sits in church, and he's just like, wow. Seriously, he's like thinking, what in the world have they done with church now? Because of the way it was back in the 1800s and the way it is now. And then he went into a movie, and they were cursing the name of the Lord, and he comes running out. I mean, running out of the movie, pitching a fit, throwing, they're blaspheming. Because it was just an outrage to him, because back then wouldn't dare nobody ever blaspheme the name of the Lord. Now it's in half our cartoons. You see, back that's the way he was, because it would have been an outrage in that church member. He would have done something about it. The church would have done something about it back then. But we've gotten to where we just say, oh, well, that's their freedom of choice. And we'll let them do whatever. But you see, the church has given, God has given the church a spirit of what? Power. Love. Are you guys with me tonight? Come on now. I know it's cold up in here. Kristen wrapped up like a bundle. Look at her over there. She's wrapped up. I got it on 80. I don't know why it's so cold, but I know it's cold, but man, God's got something, and we're supposed to be excited tonight. Can you say amen? God's going to do something and change a life. We've been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. It's up to the church. You see, that's another thing I'm going with tonight, man, is about Paul. And every time I read about Paul in the book of Acts, man, read about his missionary journeys, I get fired up and excited. I've been reading them for days, and there's just a few things or several bunch of things that jumped out of my mind. But one thing I want to talk about tonight and then go back in some scripture and let you know who you are in Christ. Because if you are in Christ tonight, how many of you are in Christ tonight? Amen. If you're in Christ and you are somebody, amen, you're a new creation, first of all. The old is gone, the new has come. Behold, all things are new. And so you are a new creation, but God has given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. But there's also some other things, and I wanted you to know to that. But in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, it starts off, it says, now when they had passed through, I get these tongue twisters here, Amphipolis, I can't, and Apollonia, I get tongue twisted, man, I'm not a theologian, amen, I don't know how to read them big words sometimes. They came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul and his custom, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them for the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Can you say amen? And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out. Now listen to this right here. This is in the second verse, second part of verse 6 of chapter 17. It says, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we love you, and God, we thank you for tonight. God, I pray that this word would come forth as you would have it come forth. The Holy Spirit would speak for me, and not me be speaking, but the Spirit of the Lord speak for me. I thank you for that tonight, God. We just pray that this word would dig deep in our hearts and change our lives forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in a minute, we're going to go to some other scriptures, but what's the big thing that jumps out at you that I would be preaching about right now? What I've been talking about, huh? Huh? You guys are so funny. You're always so afraid to to say it because you not know, man, there's no telling where he's going with this, so I'm not going to say it. The one scripture, listen, these have turned the world upside down. Who's he talking about? Paul and Silas. They went to the house of Jason, and they couldn't find Paul and Silas, so they grabbed Jason and some brethren, and they carry them to the rulers of the city, and they cry out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. He says these are the ones, Paul, not just Jason and them, but Paul and Silas, they're the ones that have turned this world upside down. You see, if you'll start in the chapter 13 of the book of Acts, that is where his missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, that's where their missionary journey starts, and then they go on their second missionary journey, and they're going in all these places. But if you will read, every single place they went to, they had somebody to persecute them. They were flipping that place upside down, causing trouble. And the other scriptures even says, man, this is the place they went and caused trouble. And back in the next one, I think it was one chapter over, yeah, in chapter 16, verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrate, and he said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. You see, they were going place to place, man, causing some ruckus. They was going up in there flipping this place upside down, and that's our big thing, man, is that we want to start what? Not just a revival, a revolution. We want to start something that changes the face of this planet. We want to be a ministry and a church that changes the face of this planet, that God would use us in such a way that we, not us, but God is remembered forever and ever and ever. And what happens that God does will always be remembered. You see that we flip the world upside down. Are you women tonight? You see, that's the point I've been trying to make, man, and trying to open our eyes, your eyes and my eyes, to what's going on in our government and what's really going on in America, the land of the free, that's supposed to be the land of the free. What's really going on and what God is trying to do in his people, God is trying to stir up something. Look at the basement. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands have come through that place, and God is putting something in them every single time they come through there, a fire. I mean, people have come from other countries to come to the basement. And God has started something in this generation to put a fire inside of them so that they will rise up and take their place. Not just there, man. You've got the Unashamed in Tuscaloosa. You got Verse 7 Ministries right here. We've had thousands come through here. We're not on such a greater scale, amen. I wish we were, man. God is blessing them. God is moving in their ministry. He's moving in ours, amen. Just not on that big a scale. God's doing some big things through all these ministries, man. And it's just like he basically what I said a long time ago. This was before verse 7 even started, before I even had the vision of verse 7. I knew the basement was going, and I saw it, and it was like God had started a fire. And what happens if you hit a fire? Sparks go everywhere, don't it? Sparks go everywhere. And then what happens if there's something out there that's dry and ready to be burned? Amen. That joker gets burned, don't it? And it starts another fire on the other side. And then that one goes and starts bigger. And then somebody hits it and something spreads out further and further. And the next thing you know, this whole state's on fire. And the next thing you know, the whole United States is on fire. And then what happens? You preach to the uttermost parts of the world and the entire world is on fire. You see, that's what I said was going to happen, and little did I know that God was going to use us as one of those sparks. I didn't know that. But then I saw Unashamed, and then we had one going in St. Clair County. Huntsville, they got one. Lord, I'm going blanks on the names. They're everywhere. We've got Ignite Ministries, huh? Outcry, you got Outcry right up here in Coleman, 20 miles from us. You've got all these big, awesome ministries that are just starting to spark up everywhere of people that are just on fire for God, that don't care about tradition, that don't care about religion, and that are flipping the world upside down. And like this, he was talking to the Jews, man. He's talking to the people that were the Pharisees, the ones that are supposed to be all religious inside and have the traditions and stuff. And he goes in there and he's flipping them upside down. The first thing, what Paul says, as his tradition, he would always go to the synagogue. He would go into the synagogue and preach the real gospel. He was going in there and preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Amen. He was going in there and telling them really what's up, man, and it was not their traditions. And even, there was an argument. I think it's in chapter 15. I've gone blank on exactly where it's at. I think it's in chapter 15, 14 or 15, that he goes in and they're in the synagogue and they're arguing over whether he should be crucified again. Circumcised again, which was the law. It was the law. And they basically had to sit there and argue with him and come against him and saying, listen, man, y'all are still in the religious part of it. You're still in the law. It is not about that anymore, man. God, Jesus came and he saved your soul through grace. Amen. And you don't have to go do all that stuff anymore. It's the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the saving power of Jesus Christ that saves your soul. I'm going to go on to Ephesians. Sound like a Christmas carol somewhere. Jingle bells, jingle. That was the wrong tune to that too, wasn't it? Yeah. Jingle bells, jingle bells. Yeah, that was it. I got it better. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John real quick if you have your Bibles. I'm going to start with this one. I didn't know which way God would have us go, but that's the one that we're going to go to first. Excuse me. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 4. Right, we'll just start in verse 2 because I love it. Now, you know what? Let's start in verse 1 just to read it all. Amen? Chapter 5 of 1 John. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Who? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of who? There you go. I heard you say it over there. Everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are what? Not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let me read that again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As you turn to Ephesians, I want to talk about that. You see, everybody all the times, we're at Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. There you go. You guys are getting with it. We're more than conquerors through him who saved us. Amen. We are more than conquerors. Can you say, I'm more than a conqueror? Scream it. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than an overcomer. Amen. I am more. And have you ever really thought about that? We say, I'm more than a conqueror. And we think, yeah, we're a conqueror. But no, he says, I'm more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. If somebody goes and conquers a place, what do? They battle and they fight for it and they conquer it, right? They take everything from it. But he says, Paul says, I'm more than a conqueror. Are you more than a conqueror? I'm more than a conqueror. Can you say, I'm more than a conqueror? Okay, just making sure y'all are with me. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm about to show you four or five things here that says, God says, you are in him. This is Paul talking. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. He says, you are in him. If you are in him, there are some things that you need to know. Because if we are in him and we are sitting at the right hand of the Father with him, amen, because we're in him, that means we're sitting at the right hand of the Father. He don't see us. He sees the blood of Jesus. He knows who we are. We're in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, that means we have something to do. Can you say amen? You see, when our government comes up, just like I said last week, and for those of you that weren't here, let me go and put it like this. Do you think that this bill that they're trying to pass, this health care plan, this health, whatever they got going, and I read off all the details of it, some of them, just a few of them, and they absolutely blow all of our minds, but I said, do you think that when they placed that bill out there and they threw it out there and it just said all these things, do you think Jesus looked at God and went, oh, no. Lord, Father, I don't know if we can handle that. Man, we're just going to have to back up and let them have their way. Come on, somebody. Don't you think he did not? No, he didn't. He's sitting up there going, come on, children, y'all can do something about this. I've given you the power of love, the love and of sound mind. I've given you a spirit of power and love and of sound mind. He said, I've given you something to do about it. And you see, if we're in Him, then we can do something. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Starting in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. That word accepted, it means to be received, right? So in Him, it says, we are received. Have you ever walked into a crowd? I remember, dating someone before, or walking into a friend and their new family or something, and you're with a friend, and you're walking over there, and you're going to meet their family for the first time, or you walk into verse 7 for the first time, and you're nervous. You walk into a place where you're going to be for the first time, your first day of class. Whoo, there's a good one. You walk into class the first day, and your heart's beating. You're like, man, I don't know half these people, man. I wonder how they're going to think about me. I wonder what's going on and all this. And have you ever just been accepted? Some of you in here going, no, you know what? I really haven't. That's good. That's okay, because Jesus accepts you. That's the only one that matters anyway. Amen. You see, I've been blessed enough to be accepted by certain crowds of people. A lot of times it wasn't a good crowd, but I know the feeling of being accepted and how good it feels when you walk in and you're wanting to, or a family when you're dating somebody and you want their family to accept you and to love you and to like you, and you walk in and then they accept you and want that good feeling of, wow, I'm accepted. You see, right here it says that we are to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. God says you are accepted. That's the bottom line of anything you need to know in your life right there. He accepts you. He receives you. He loves you. And without anything, no matter what you've done in your life, He says, I accept you. You're accepted. Can you say amen? Going on to the next one, verse 7. He says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. So in Him we have what? Redemption. We are received. First one, we're received. Second one, we have redemption. What is redemption? Kristen. She's hilarious, man. She started thinking. That little mind went to churning. Dick, 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 dick. She started thinking. Redemption. What if you win a prize, they say bring something to what? Bring your ticket to redeem your prize. But there had to be a what? A price paid. Had to be a price paid. To redeem something means to go get it, amen? Or what's the word I'm looking for? Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. If you redeem something, ransom, there it is, hallelujah, ransom. There's been a ransom, okay? If somebody's kidnapped, And when they're kidnapping them, they say, we want a certain amount of money to have them back. You take the ransom and pay for them to be back. Are you with me? Everybody with me tonight? Here's one, a good scenario for you. Perfect scenario for you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you are in jail, or you say you're living the life that I used to live, please don't. We won't speak that of you. But say that we're talking a scenario. My life. We'll just use my life and what I used to do. Say back then when I went and sat before the judge, and I'm sitting at the judge before him and before the jury, and I'm sitting there, and the judge says, look here, Scott, I'm done with you. I'm tired of the way you're doing things. I'm sick and tired of this. And here's the bottom line. I'm going to fine you jail for the rest of your life or $1 million. Whichever one. You think I'd come up with $1 million? Absolutely not. Or if he says $10 million, Scott, you're sentenced to life in prison, or you can come up with $1 million, and I'll let you go. All I can do is hold out my hands and say, here, take me. No way I'd come up with $1 million. I can't ask anybody in the world. Could never find $1 million. You see, and then about that time, Jesus knocks on the door and he walks in. He says, Your Honor, I'd like to say something. He walks through and he walks up to the front and he says, I got $1 million. And I want to take him home with me. I want to set him free from captivity. I don't want him to go to prison for the rest of his life. I've got $1 million. You see, that's what redemption is right there, that Christ came and he paid the price for our soul that we might be saved and reconciled back to him. That's the next thing, that we might be reconciled. You see, Christ came and he paid that ultimate price. Remember, we were talking to Jeffrey last night about sacrifice. And Abraham, when God said, Abraham wants you to sacrifice your only son. And the question was asked, why? What about sacrifices? Well, there had to be a sacrifice made for sin And so Jesus came and he was that ultimate sacrifice. He was that ultimate price that was paid for our sin so that we might not have to do it. Amen. The next thing he goes on, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What's the next thing? So in him we have what? Forgiveness. I use the R word just so we can keep a bunch of R's going here. We got received, reconciled, redeemed, and reconciled. What is reconciled? Brought back to. Amen. Brought back to. Who are you born of? God. You're a spirit. You are born of God in the very beginning. God, you were basically created in God's hands, and he puts you in a woman, and you were birthed here on this earth, and now you lived your life. And when you accept Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of your sins, and you are reconciled back to the Father at that moment. You see, that's what it was all for. That's exactly what it's all for, that we might be forgiven and reconciled back to him so that he would have us back. Can you say amen? According to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom, prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in all things in Christ, in one all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Listen to this. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. So in him we are, give me an R word that you all want to be. Rich! I knew y'all come up with that one. In him we are rich. In him we are rich. Listen to the verse to that in verse 3, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So that means if you're in Christ, you are given what? Every spiritual blessing. He's not withheld nothing from you. He's not withheld no power from you. He's not withheld nothing, absolutely zilch, zero, nada from you. He's given you everything if you are in Christ. You see, if you're not in Christ, today is the day of salvation, and you can receive this redemption. You can receive a place that you've been received into, amen? You can be reconciled through forgiveness back to the Father tonight, and you can be the richest person on the face of this earth with us. Come on, son. Man, I know it's Friday night, and it's cold. It's actually getting a little bit hotter. Maybe it's just me because I'm running around preaching, but that's something to be excited about. He goes on, he says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Listen to this in verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. To the praise of his glory. To the what? He says redemption of the purchased possession. Shoo. Who's the seal of our promise? Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We could go on all night about that one. He says, in him you are trusted. You are trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You see, tonight you heard the truth, and you're going to hear the truth. You've always heard the truth here at verse 7. And you've been trusted. You've been trusted with something. You see, and we've been, when I think about that we've been sealed with a promise. Basically, he said, the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Guarantee, what does that mean? If you buy something, you got a 2-year guarantee on it, 2-year warranty with a 2-year guarantee. Okay, they guarantee that it'll be good for 2 years, right? This is a lifetime guarantee. A lifetime, for eternity, guarantee right here. He's going to seal you, and he's going to put the Holy Spirit, the seal of approval on you, or the seal of promise on you, and you will inherit an inheritance, and it's guaranteed for life. Man, are y'all with me tonight, man? Am I that born? Is this that born? Man, this is the word of God, amen, that's going to get you through life. Listen to this, man. He says you are given an inheritance, and you're made rich. No longer should we act that we're poor. No longer should we act that we don't have anything in life. We are rich, amen? Not that God's going to pour millions of dollars into you. That's not what I'm saying, amen? We're given a richness inside of our heart as well. But yes, if we obey the commands of the Lord, we should look at God and say, God, you promised me that you'd take care of me and I would be okay. That's rich in my book. Rich is life, spiritual, inside of you, peaceful, joy. Not that we would have millions of dollars to just throw around, amen? I think God knows he'd lose if he gave half of his millions. If he gave me $1 million, I'd be running around crazy. Praise God. In him you were trusted after you heard the word of the truth. Have you heard the truth? Man. Hallelujah. Received, redeemed, reconciled, and rich. Amen. I say all this tonight to say, to get to the last one, that we have an inheritance. You know, if somebody's born into a kingdom, you got a king and a queen, and they have a baby, that baby becomes automatically has born into the throne. They're heirs to the throne. You see, when you become a Christian, what do we say? You're born again. When you become a Christian, you accept Jesus and you are born again, right? So if you're born again and now you're born into Jesus, you're born new, you are starting over, amen? You have a clean slate, everything is starting over, you're born new, you are right there, you are heirs to the throne of God. And then he says right there that blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. From that moment on, right there, that you accept Jesus, from that moment on, you can receive every spiritual blessing from heaven. It is yours. Yes, when that baby is born into the kingdom with the king and queen, do you think they know right then and there that they are? No, when they're a baby. Can't look at them and go, man, do you know you're heir to the throne? Yeah. Come on. The baby grows into it, amen? And then there's a certain time when they finally understand it. They finally understand it, and then they begin to grow, and then they operate in it, and then all of a sudden they raise up and they run the kingdom, amen? You see, it's time that we get past all the milk stuff, amen? We should be at a point right now where we understand that we are heirs to the throne of God, and he's given us a power from on high that we should not let our government take the things that they're taking, do the things that they're doing, and let Satan run rampant through our streets and do the things that he's doing, because we have been given the power from on high. Can you say amen? And God's been putting this all in my heart, man, because he's doing something big. He's doing something really, really big. The church is beginning to grow. Even this ministry up here is beginning to grow. And on a night like tonight, there's just a few of us here, everybody's thinking, yeah, we're growing. Good job, Scott. Way to look. We're growing. If you haven't noticed it, if you wasn't here a while, last year, the year before, when we'd have 3 or 4 bands and there'd still only be 25 people here. And then it'd be a long time before we'd ever have even 25 back. And we're getting there. We're growing. Amen. God's doing something big. But he's had to teach us a lot of things. Even tonight, man, as we're learning in this, man, God's been putting this on my heart because we've got something big. God's got something big planned for each one of your lives. It just kills me, man, to watch and to preach a sermon like tonight, or like I always preach, man, with all of my heart and give it everything and scream to the top of my lungs at you, trying to get it in there. And then some people, they walk out of here and then they'll get down the stairs and they're already talking like they used to talk and walking like they used to walk. And they get back to school and they do the same things that they just done the week before. They've been given the power from on high. I call a prayer request and an altar call and you come up. And, man, God is not withholding you from anything. He's not holding anything back from you. He said, I give you every spiritual blessing from on high. You have an inheritance. If your mama and daddy die right now and leave you $1 million, are you going to take it? I believe you'll be at the bank before it opens, ready to walk up in there and demand your money in a heartbeat. What's up with us and our inheritance? It's the same thing. He said, nobody got to die. Well, yeah, we got to die, amen. Our flesh got to die. Boy, I could preach that one too. You see, we've been given an inheritance, people. If you guys will, just go get home and find an internet and read what's going on in our country. I don't watch TV. I know I hate it, but get on the internet and read some news. You can click on it and watch all the news stations, watch everything going on. See what's really going on. Watch how fake everything is. Somebody speaks on television or speaks about something, you don't even know if they're real or what's going on. I mean, it's ridiculous. So much lying and deceit. Partying, fun.
They will eat, drink, and be merry. Scripture says in the last day, eat, drink, and be merry. It's up to us, man. God's given us everything we possibly need. And I believe with all of my heart that this generation right here, you guys, are rising up to take your place. There's fixing to be a time in this country, people, when we don't have it like we got it now. It's bad. It's getting bad now. There's coming a time. The Bible says so. We're not going to have the blessed opportunity to be able to just to get together like this. We're going to be persecuted. It's coming faster if we don't do something about it. It's coming really, really fast. If you read what's going on in our country and in our government and see what they're really trying to do, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's fixing me to the point where if I preach against homosexuality, which I'll preach against till the day I die if God tells me to, what the Bible says, I'll preach against it when he tells me to. I won't speak until he does. But in my heart, I'll always speak and say it's wrong to anybody I talk to, no matter what. But I'm talking about preaching. If he gives me that sermon to preach, I'm going to preach it, amen? Arrest me. Arrest me. I don't care. But it's almost to that point. It is in some places, I believe. If you preach against homosexuality, it's against the law now. You see, the separation of church and state has been totally messed up and rearranged to where now it's separation of everybody else and Christians. Everybody else can do what they want to do and be free and have their right to say what they want to say and pray when they want to say it or pray when they want to pray. But we've been given the right to do nothing now. And we're sitting back and taking it. I know y'all have heard me saying it over and over and over and over and over, but I'm hoping maybe it'll sink in, especially with this generation right here. You guys in school, you're in school and young. You guys have no clue what you could do in this world. All it takes is being like Paul, man, walking bold. Read it, man. Read it. Acts chapter 13, 14 through 16, 17. Read all those. He went into every city, man, and flipped them places upside down. He didn't care. He said, and with boldness he spoke. He would go straight in there and he would say, look here, you're wrong. This is the way that it is. This is the way that it's got to be. Christ will save your soul. He had boldness everywhere that he went. You guys can do it. Amen. We'll go ahead and pray just a little bit and give you guys a chance to. You sure can.
I just want to tell y'all about something I heard on the radio this week. And I knew I was supposed to mention this Friday night because for some reason I knew Scott was going to talk about our country and, you know, us standing up as Christians and not just sitting back and taking it. Well, I was listening to Rick and Bubba, and they had this minister or priest on there, and he was talking about, it's called the Manhattan Declaration. The reason it's called that is because 50 religious leaders in our country got together in Manhattan, wrote this declaration, and it talks about, it's like three main things. You know, Scott was talking about going to jail for preaching against homosexuality. It talks about, you know, standing up against that and, you know, being able to preach the word of God because it's the truth. And, you know, us, you know, being against abortion. And there was like one more major issue. And it's like, it's a really long declaration, but they need so many signatures for this to pass. And they already have like thousands, but they need like a million for it to pass. And, you know, they've talked about it all week on the radio. And I just think it's really important for us because for me, I always think I'm nobody. Like, who am I to change the world? But I mean, we have God in us. We can, like, you know, he was saying we're more than overcomers. That's the truth. That's the word of God. But we just think in our human minds that we just can't do that because, you know, we're nobody. But we can. And I just, you know, go home and Google it. It's called the Manhattan Declaration, or look it up on Rick and Bubba and just read it. And if you agree with it, just sign it, because to me, it's just really important. And I just think that, you know, it's time that all Christians stand together. It don't matter if you're Catholic, it don't matter if you're Baptist, it don't matter if you're Methodist, we all have to come together. And I just want to share that with y'all.
Amen. Praise God. That's exactly what I was talking about last week. And when I say everybody thinks you're a nobody, think you're just a not on love. God has given us. Amen. I once was blind, but now I see. We scream it all the time and pray it and sing it. I once was blind, but now I see. But now if we see, let's see. Amen. Let's walk. Let's do this. Let's get in this Manhattan Declaration. Let's find that. I mean, that is praise God, because I said it last week. You can call. You can pray. You can write letters. We can do this. We're not just a nobody. We are somebody. I don't believe Christ Jesus died in vain. Amen. I believe that he died to give us something, to give us heaven. Amen. To give us forgiveness. But he also did all of that, that we might have the same power that he had to do all that. The Holy Spirit is the power. Amen. We've got the power. Let's pray real quick. And he's going to play a worship song. You guys come forward and pray. And I'll pray with anybody who wants to pray, of course. And we'll just expect God to give us a fire and a boldness that we can go out and do his work. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you again for your word. And God, I pray that what was spoken, Father, would dig deep into our hearts, Lord, and we would be more than conquerors. Lord, we would understand that we are in Christ Jesus, Father. That means that we've been received and we're accepted into something, God. We are special, God, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God, we are bought with a price, and Lord, that price has been paid. And we would understand that, Father. We are forgiven. It means we are reconciled back to you, Father. We accept Jesus. We are in him. We are in forgiveness. That means we can walk around forgiven of our sins and walk around knowing that we are clean, and we can walk with our head held high, Father. We thank you for that, God. We know that we are rich tonight, Father. We know that we are rich in you. We have your inheritance in the kingdom of heaven, God. We have so much in you, and we thank you for that. God, you are awesome. You're a blessing. God, we just pray tonight, Father, that you would touch our lives with this word and let it continue to go forth with us as we leave, Father. As we pray tonight, God, we pray that you would give us a boldness and a fire inside, a zeal inside to go out and do something, know that we are more than conquerors, to know that we have this and that we can do something about it. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, thank you all for listening. Here at Verse 7, we believe that all you have to do to be saved is confess and repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. There is no certain prayer. Just speak from your heart. Tell him in your own words that you repent and you believe in him, and you will be saved. If this is you today and you have done this and you accept Jesus into your heart, we just ask that you please let us know through email or comment on our website at www.verse7.org. That's V-E-R-S-E, the number 7.org. And let us know so we might help you in any way that we possibly can and help you get plugged into an awesome home church. We thank you again, and God bless you.